Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome to The Drift. Thanks for tuning in to hang out with us. And joining me in studio, Ed Bondarenka.
Hey there.
Ipsy Ed. Good to have you along, man.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
Glad to get out of work for a few minutes on Saturday.
Yes, excellent. Hey, well, what we do on The Drift every Saturday is we go over the news that I put on thedailydrift.com. And if you're not going there, you should. www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news
you need to know.
You need to know. Yes, exactly right. And if you don't catch a show live here at Wham Talk 1600, you can catch it on rednationrising.us tonight and tomorrow night in the evenings. But we're also on YouTube, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and always archived at thedailydrift.com, so you can catch us there. But let's take care of a little business. It's Easter weekend, right? Tomorrow is Easter.
Yep. Yep.
And if you're going to do Easter brunch, Whitmore Lake area, just off of 23 at 6 Mile, you can go to the Whitmore Lake Golf Links, right? And they've got a wonderful Sunday Easter brunch.
Yeah, yep.
And they've got omelet stations, scrambled egg, sausage, bacon, potatoes, waffles, fresh fruit, pastries, biscuits, gravy, you name it, they have it. They're also doing an Easter egg hunt for the kids. Adults, $19.95. Kids, 4 to 12, $8.95. They got a $5 Bloody Mary bar. Oh, that's a way to celebrate Easter in my book. So all kinds of good stuff. Non-alcoholic drinks are included in that price, but of course they have a full bar there as well, so you can have a nice mimosa or something. Check it out. The Links of Whitmore. And it's located at 1111 6 Mile Road. You can call 734-449-4653 or go to WhitmoreLakeGolfLinks.com. Or you can get reservations, and I highly recommend this. Call, contact Ashley at WhitmoreLakeGolfLinks.com or just give him a call, 734-449-4653. Check it out. Good, nice place. Nice atmosphere. One of the prettiest golf courses around. So while you're there, check it out. Maybe you'll want to get a game in as well.
I'm going to have to try that sometime.
Yeah, it's nice. Very nice place. It's Whitmore Lake. You can't go wrong, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so before we get into the things that we're going to talk about today, you want to take a few minutes, and it is Easter weekend, right?
Yeah.
So shall we, for a few minutes here, indulge our listeners with a little...
Bible history.
Bible history, yeah.
Well, yeah, what I wanted to talk about was the fact that, well, yesterday was Good Friday, and it's the day that... I don't know how to say, celebrates Jesus dying on the cross. And so a lot of people ask, what is so good about Good Friday? And we know that Jesus was crucified. We know that, you know, 2 days, 3 days later, depending on how you count it, he rose from the dead. So what's so good about, you know, the Son of God being crucified? Well, that was the act that led to salvation or freedom of mankind from sin. So the question is it a sad thing or a good thing? Well, it was a good thing for us, and actually God considered it a good thing too. He actually planned it out. It didn't happen by accident. He had planned this out since, as the Bible says, before the foundations of the earth were laid. So that begs the question. In some Gospels, Jesus' final words on the cross were, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, to anybody else who would read that and not be informed about biblical matters, they'd say, oh, Jesus felt abandoned by his Father God. So he must be right. He's Jesus. Therefore, the Father abandoned him. Well, given that most of us believe in what's called the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I believe that if one member of the head, the Trinity, were to turn its head on the other, turn away from the other, forsake the other, I believe the universe would crumble, frankly. It doesn't make any sense. They had planned this from forever, that Jesus would do this dying on the cross. So why would Jesus say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, if he didn't really feel forsaken? And if you do a search, you find out that these are some of the opening words of Psalm 22. And if you read Psalm 22, you're absolutely amazed by the fact that it describes the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in detail, probably 1,000 years or more before Jesus actually died on the cross. So why did Jesus say that? There's a teaching trick called a remez. In Hebrew, it's called a remez. And so what happens is you say a short phrase, and that brings to mind of people who are familiar with the larger work of what you mean. For instance, if you know Shakespeare and somebody's listening to somebody say something, they say, oh, the lady doth protest too much. Well, you know, you're calling them a liar because of the body of work behind that, the scene in Shakespeare. So when Jesus said this, he was saying it in front of a number of Pharisees and religious leaders, the very guys that put him on the cross. And they had continually, through his 3 years, asked for a sign. And he had told them, you will have a sign when the Son of Man is lifted up. You will have your sign. Well, here now the Son of Man, Jesus, is lifted up on a cross. And he's looking down at them, and they're mocking him, saying, he saved others, why can't he save himself? And he quotes Psalm 22 to them. I can imagine the shocked look on their face. These are guys that know the Bible inside and out.
Right. Old Testament.
Old Testament,
right.
Yes.
Because I just pulled it up right here, and we're looking at a Psalm of David, right?
Yes.
And so he's going back and quoting the Bible to the people who are sitting there mocking him.
Exactly. And what it is David had this vision, and in this vision, he actually saw himself through Christ's eyes on the cross. And he's wondering, what did I do wrong? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he describes the crucifixion.
Yeah, here it is. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their head. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Wow, so that's like predestination, right?
Oh, it's a foreshadowing. It's prophecy. And we know that that's not a fake, because we know it was written before Jesus was on the cross.
Right.
It was buried in the Dead Sea Scrolls. So this is actually God's calling card to mankind, saying this was no accident, knew this was coming all along, and it's part of the plan. So if it's part of the plan, the Father did not forsake Jesus on the cross. But also, you got to ask yourself, if prophecy, I mean, we're talking about, say you talk about the Coast to Coast AM, the show where they do all the
George Norrie.
Yeah, you do all the superstitious stuff and all the, you know, ooh,
yeah.
You know? Well, this ought to send shivers up and down your spine.
Right.
Because this is Old Testament stuff that points to Jesus actually doing what he said he was going to do. And so the question is, was he telling the truth, and what's the outcome? Well, Jesus told the guy next to him on the cross, there's two other guys on the cross next to him, guys that deserve to be crucified. One's mocking him. And the other one says, hey, stop mocking him. He didn't do anything wrong. And then that guy, which we call the good thief, turns to Jesus and says, you know, remember me when you come to your place. So this guy at the last minute becomes a believer in Jesus, right? And Jesus says to him, he says, this day you will be with me in paradise. And paradise is actually the place where Jews were held, believers were held before salvation was made available. So it's actually, there's a rich man and Lazarus is a story about Abraham's bosom, paradise, it's kind of holding place. And so what happens is Jesus is telling this guy, today you're going to be with me there. We're going there together. And that's where Jesus went and preached to the souls that were deceased, that had passed already, to convince them that he was the Christ so that they could have faith in him as the Savior. And then when he arose on Easter, he took captivity captive.
Yeah.
So that's what Jesus did.
Awesome. You know, that's an educational biblical moment for me. Hmm. Very good, man.
Thank you
for bringing that. That's the pastor classes are holding up for you, right?
Yeah.
Good for you. All right. Well, there we go. There's a sign from above.
Yeah.
From
no, that's me
right
bumping
there.
The yeah, microphone. We'll
okay, so we're good. Well, that's awesome. Let's take a quick call from Will, who wants to say happy Easter. Hey, Will, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, Gary. You're doing another great show again. I just wanted to wish you guys a blessed and wonderful Easter. You know, we begin with Christmas with the greatest gift, and that greatest gift sacrificing himself for our sins. And so we have a lot to be thankful for.
Absolutely.
Yep. You know? And I'm grateful that you guys are there because I don't care. I'll call you G. I love calling you G, Gary. Because I do love your show, and bless you and your families not only tomorrow but throughout the year. And,
yeah.
You guys take care.
Well,
I'm going to hang up and listen to the rest of this wonderful show, but you guys are fantastic.
Great. Well, thank you, Will. I appreciate it. It's great listeners like you that make it all worthwhile, so I appreciate it. Take care, man.
I appreciate that. You too.
Have a great Easter.
God bless you.
Okay, so, well, there you go, dude. And it's moments like this with you bringing in your knowledge and expertise in that makes it all worthwhile. So,
well, you know,
go, folks, happy Easter to everybody. And I want to be thankful, too, right? Not only you, but to all the people here at the station, Derek across the glass, and Pastor Rick, and Linda, and Theron, and everyone that makes this possible. So enjoy your Easter, folks. Don't take it for granted. Spend it with your family and be thankful, I guess. So.
Somebody I had at church once said, you know, your pastor always preaches the same message. He always preaches the same message. I said, well, if you were to come once in a while more than Easter, you might hear a different message.
You might. Yes, exactly right. All right. Well, we're going to move from the positive and wonderful Easter message that we just had to something that's probably a little more disturbing. And and these are the stories that I put on thedailydrift.com just to keep you. And it makes you wonder. We talk about it all the time. What's going on with our educational system? And this is on the Daily Drift today. Clemson University is expecting people to show up on time is actually racist.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Does your employer expect you to show up for work on time? If so, he or she might be a racist. That is, according to the Inclusion Awareness Course at South Carolina's Clemson University. Now, this is a state-funded college, right? And they do this online training curriculum that suggests this garbage. And it says some cultures... you're not supposed to be on time. It's okay. And I'm not sure. They don't point out which cultures we're talking about. And frankly, I don't give a rat's banana. You know what I mean? If you got a class or if you got a job or you got an appointment, be there on time. That's just common sense, right? It's common courtesy as well. If you're supposed to meet somebody at 10 o'clock or have a class or supposed to be at work, for the love of Pete – if you're supposed to be at work at 8 o'clock, you should be there at 8 o'clock.
We have to make 500 widgets off this press by the end of the day, but we're not quite sure somebody's going to be there to make the first 40 of them.
Yeah, this training is provided by a company called Workplace Answers, and it costs Clemson University, or taxpayers, $26,945 to say to people, you know, you people, it's okay if you're late. It's okay. Everything's okay. It's political. It's crock of bull, man.
You know what? It's the dumbing down of America.
Exactly. The biggest part of college is learning one thing, not necessarily the stuff you learn in all those classes, because a lot of it is garbage. It's learning to be independent. It's learning to be responsible. It's learning to do the job. It's learning to learn the job that you will eventually have.
Go ahead. I've often heard that the one benefit of 4 years of college is to your future employer is to show you that you could get through 4 years of college.
Exactly.
Yeah. You
right.
may not even use your degree.
You know, that degree is simply a license to learn. All it does is show you that, yes, you put in 4 years, you passed, you got hopefully decent grades, and that tells the employer, well, here's a guy who got his four-year degree. He worked hard for that. He'll probably work hard for me, allegedly.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say that anymore,
knowing
all these snowflakes and weenies that we're putting out through the university system. Are you kidding me? With crap like this? Clemson University, you should be disgusted with yourselves putting garbage like that out there. My gosh. Let's take a call from Joe in Wyandotte. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, I was checking out the Daily Drift, and this one caught my eye, too. I couldn't believe it, and you actually went to it first. I was surprised. I thought I was going to have to pull you in this direction.
Joe, are you a racist?
Isn't this ridiculous? This day and age, actually treating people and expecting people to be equal is somehow racist. You are racist if you don't recognize that certain races are somehow inferior and incapable of being on time. And this goes with liberal Democrat Ku Klux Klan still day and age thinking that somehow it doesn't explicitly say blacks, but you listen to Democrats. You can't have voter ID because blacks are too stupid or too lazy to be able to get an ID, despite the fact that they already, most of them do have IDs.
Yeah, well, you're reading my mind because that's where I was going to go with this. You know, it's like these judges who put up this stink and these stays on voter ID laws. You're exactly right. These judges are insulting certain races of individuals, be they black or white or Hispanic or whoever. They're saying some people are too lazy or stupid to get IDs, and that is a load of bull.
It really it is.
It's the old saying, the soft bigotry of low expectations. It's ridiculous. I've written for Red State and various Tea Party groups on this. When are black Americans going to insist the Democrat Party stop insulting them and treating them like they are inferior, and we as Republicans offer equality, equality of opportunity? The Democrats try to promise socialist equality of outcomes, which means everybody is poor. It never works.
Yeah, you know, they're equating. They're equating race with culture also, because if you remember, the article talked about certain cultures. But then the response is, if you don't respect those cultures, and that culture is being, you know, lazy and or late for work or just doesn't care about the clock so much, then you're a racist. Well, wait a minute. Now you're saying culture is race, and there's all kinds of different cultures in different races and all kinds of races with different cultures.
Yeah.
So if you say – if you start saying everybody's a racist, then you're the racist.
Yeah.
Right. You've got the Yankee and the redneck culture, the New York culture, the Atlanta culture within the white race itself.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, I know a culture of black people that are professional and tight, and they're insulted by the ghetto imprint.
As they should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the ghetto people come in all colors. So there's no race involved in that. And that's what drives me crazy with the U of M and their affirmative action. You know what? If you want to give a hand up to people, do it by economic status. You come from Detroit, it shouldn't matter what color you are. You came from a bad school district like Detroit. You come from a poor neighborhood like Detroit. It doesn't matter what color you are. You should get that opportunity. If you're going to give
like
somebody
an
affirmative action, give it to anybody from Detroit, whether they're Hispanic, white, black, or Asian. You
now,
know what I mean?
Important question. Do you think... Finally, Trump did, you know, I've never been a big fan of Trump. You guys know that. I support him as president. I think he's doing an okay job so far. It's only 87 days in, whatever. We've got a long way to go to tell. But the one thing he did was outreach. He did outreach by above and beyond anybody else ever did, and I've been clamoring for. You've got to go into Detroit and Chicago and L.A. and ask for the votes, and he did that. Do you think we can finally be turning a little bit of a page if we continue this outreach to wake people up?
Yeah, I believe that. I believe more black people have probably voted for Trump than they did Romney, and I think I've seen that poll out there already. So I think it's working because, you know what, the Democrats are hurting the black community simply by importing immigrants of all colors. They're bringing in more people who are taking the lower paid jobs or the lower skilled jobs that many of the people in the inner city, be they black or white or whatever, need to be taking. And so the Democrats, once again, are hurting the same people that have been voting for them. And I think a lot of those people, the underclass, the urban class, that are finally waking up and saying, yeah, I guess the Republicans are right. They're giving our jobs away to new immigrants.
Yeah, and there are none that a liberal hates more than a solid black conservative, especially if it's female conservative. But you guys don't have a female black conservative on your airways. But how do we get more people listening to the Abolitionist Roundtable on Saturday mornings and hearing the message from fellow blacks to blacks in waking up?
Yeah, it's a little early in the morning for me.
Yeah, I listen to them, but I've gotten in an argument with their resident black conservative concerning Trump at one point. So,
all right, well, great comments, Joe. I appreciate it.
Take care, my friends. Love you guys.
You too.
See you, Joe.
Take care. Bye bye. Let's take a call from Gary in Hazel Park. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Happy Easter to you guys.
And
see you.
You
too, Gary.
Hey, you know, I was talking about academia telling us that punctuality is irrelevant now. It wasn't long ago, just a few weeks ago, I read something where they were telling us that grammar didn't make any difference either, and if you thought it did, then that you were a racist because you wanted somebody to speak the King's English.
What?
I didn't get it.
Say that again, Gary?
They're telling us that you do not have to have proper grammar anymore.
Ebonics.
Somebody's.
There you go again. And, you know, people will say, so if you run across an African-American who is speaking very good English, grammatically correct English, people will look down on him.
You know, we just had that conversation about reading early.
Yeah, you're an Uncle Tom, you're whatever. Why are you acting so white? It's not white to be speaking grammatically correct English. Now, I still use the word ain't a lot. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit of a redneck. I can't help it. I enjoy it. That's who I am. But, yeah, it's crazy. Being grammatically correct, speaking and reading and acting in ways that breed success or ensure success shouldn't be racist at all.
You know, I've tried as a young man to learn a vocabulary that would express exactly what I wanted to say with pinpoint precision, and I find that nobody understands me.
Well, you know, the left, one of their greatest ways of destroying our civilization is the perversion of language. They go at it with a fervor. They will take words and just twist them all the way to hell and back.
Yeah, well, I could probably do a show on this one day because I've looked at languages. I've dabbled in a bunch of different languages because I try to learn a language when I go to Germany. I try to speak a little German. Normally they say thank you very much, but it's pretty bad. We speak English, you're good. But I think human beings as a rule take whatever language they use and they kind of shorten it up and get lazy with it, and that's how languages evolve. I mean,
language is central to a culture. Now we're talking about culture here. Language is central to a culture. And if you have this diverse language that all of a sudden goes all sloppy and everything, then basically you're losing your culture, which is exactly what the goal of some is, to break down our culture.
Right. Yeah. So we'll just be grunting at each other pretty soon.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Great call, Gary, as always, man. I appreciate it.
What did you mean by that?
have a great Easter, man. All right. So, that's just sheer craziness. Well, here's another one before we get into me, because I know everyone wants to talk about Korea. Everyone wants to talk about the big stories. There is another story that was out, and it's about the EMP, right? Now, which is one of my big problems with Congress. And we've had Congressman Tim on a number of occasions saying, why is not Congress fortifying the grid?
Hardening
the grid, right? And he says the House has passed it numerous times. It never gets past the Senate. Derek, you got track one ready? Let's play this. This is the Pentagon is now worried about this more than anybody else.
Amid warnings that North Korea and Iran have plans to take out parts of the U.S. electric grid through a cyber attack or atmospheric nuclear blast, the Pentagon is taking steps to protect both the nation's communications and power lifeline. The Pentagon is developing a system that can detect a cyber attack and gin up an alternative communications network for military and civilian use if the grid is fried, according to the online newsletter Defense Systems. Former CIA Director James Woolsey has been warning for years that the grid is extremely vulnerable, and former EMP Commission Chief of Staff Peter Vincent Pry has specifically pointed a finger at North Korea. The Pentagon's focus has been on thwarting a cyber attack, but Pry and Woolsey have also warned that North Korea or Iran could attack the grid using an atmospheric nuclear explosion over the East Coast. That would disable the grid and could end up leading to the death of 90% of those in the East. The Pentagon plan has several elements. First, it would include ways to sense an imminent attack that would trigger protections. And if damaged, it would have an alternative way for communications killed in the attack to continue in a backup system. However, it won't be ready until 2020.
Okay. So, and it's not just an EMP attack by Iran or Russia or the Koreans or anyone else. It could be something as simple as a solar flare. The sun is not predictable, folks. If you haven't figured it out, I think they say every couple hundred years it puts out a giant solar storm that could literally wipe out our electrical grid, right?
Yep.
And I think we had some tracks from Newt Gingrich last year, probably last fall, that it's like a $5 billion fix. That's it. You know, I don't care if it's $20 billion. Fix it. And why, for God's sake, won't the Congress and the Senate pass this through? It's people like Debbie Stabenow and the Democrats who keep wanting to block it because they want to get something extra in it for themselves or for their constituents, right?
We have, yes, exactly. We have, across this country, we have huge transformers. We have AC electricity, and that's given to us through transforming large voltages, the small voltages, and vice versa. And that's done in these big coils called transformers. And if those transformers aren't shielded, then a source of electrons in the atmosphere from an EMP or a solar flare can pass through that and spike, okay, basically give a spike of voltage and send it across the grid. You're going to lose your TV, your computer. It may even go so far as to fry those coils. And those coils fry, they're not coming back. They're right. very expensive to replace.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that should be bipartisan and should be fixed. And we'll pick this up on the other side of the break, but it's something that really needs to be fixed, and I want people to know about it. So we'll see you all on the other side of the break.
People are always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Radio. I'm Rachel Sutherland. As Vice President Mike Pence travels to South Korea, North Korea says it's ready for war. Fox's Griff Jenkins reports.
Tensions are running high on the Korean Peninsula, a massive show of force as North Korea paraded their full arsenal of weapons on display, including what appears to be intercontinental ballistic missiles during its annual celebration honoring the country's founder, Kim Il-sung.
President Trump is watching the situation from his Florida home where he's spending the Easter weekend. Protesters are gathering in at least 150 cities demanding President Trump release his tax returns. Senator Ron Wyden among the crowd in D.C.
Maybe we can get some answers to the whole array of questions about business connections, especially to Russia.
The Trump administration has said the public doesn't care about the president's tax returns. And after months of anticipation, April, the draft finally gives birth. Fox News, we report.
It's 2017. If you're thinking about investing in your house, now is the time. Check out woodrehab.com or call 248-506-6175. Use this year's tax refund to spruce up your house. And what better way than upgrading your tired kitchen cabinets? Wood Rehab can give your kitchen cabinets a new look at a great price. Don't replace them. You can paint or refinish without emptying your cabinets in this very non-intrusive process, which averages 7 days from start to finish. Call 248-506-6175. Ask for Dave. WoodRehab.com will give you 10% off if you mention this ad. 2017 is a great year. Get it started with a brand new kitchen. Call 248-506-6175. Or go to the web at WoodRehab.com. And get your kitchen renovation started today.
This is Mark with Ashelman Equipment. Need help with your property maintenance? Ashelman Equipment has LS tractor loaders ready to go. Power steering and hydro transmissions make driving fun and easy for the whole family. Want to stay out of the weather? Cab tractors with heat and AC in stock. Buckets, forks, snow blades are changed with just a pull of a lever. LS Tractor is the highest quality tractor in the U.S. and number one in customer satisfaction. Awarded by EDA for 2015 and again in 2016. Highest quality, more features standard, 5-year warranty, free loader, and 1.59% financing qualifying. Ashelman Equipment in Whitmore Lake is at Exit 50 on US 23, just north of Ann Arbor. Call 734-994-6000. That's 734-994-6000.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I'm a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed.
Hey.
Yeah, I know. It's a little loud. Go ahead, move it. Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah, okay, so there we go. Now let's take care of a little business. Our sponsor this half hour is Max Marine. That's a certified full marine service. It's springtime. Your boats are probably ready to get into the water. You can call them at 734-449-4706. That's 734-449-4706. They're located on the lakefront, but they also have a huge service place in South Lyons. So if you're looking to get any of your work on your boat done, get it done there. If you're looking for maybe a used boat, you can pick them up there. And they also have dock slips available right on Whitmore Lake, which is a great all-sports lake. So if you want to get your boat and dock it there this year, get hold of them soon, 734-449-4706. Or you can go online, www.maxmacsmarina.com, maxmarina.com.
Speaking from experience, don't wait till you want to go in the water on your boat to see if your boat is ready to go in the water.
Oh, yeah, you've got to jump on it early because those engines, especially older outboards, they need a little help, and you got to take care of them before you try and get it out on the water. I'm one of those guys, you know. So, all right, so we were talking, and I just want to finish up with the EMP, right, having our electrical grid hardened.
EMP, electromagnetic EMP. Pulse.
Yep, and so I'm going to tell people, call your congressman. For goodness sakes, call Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters, our two U.S. senators, and tell them to make it a priority. Tell them to stop playing partisan politics with this. We need to have our electrical grid hardened, A, from EMP, B, from cyber attacks. It needs to happen because you heard him say in that last clip, 90% of the people in an area that loses its electricity could die. And that's no joke.
Hospitals. Breathing machines at home.
Well, think about the city of New York. If there's no electricity, and I think it happens to vehicles, is right.
Yeah.
Vehicles go down too. So you're not going to have trucks bringing food into New York City. How quickly do people in the big cities run out of food? Mm-hmm. It's going to be horrible. People will literally starve to death if we do not have an electrical system up and running.
There's nothing political about electricity.
Nothing. And so people need to really get on your congressmen, get on your U.S. senators, call them and send them an email, whatever. Tell them we need to harden the grid. It needs to happen. This is important. It really is. Okay, that's done. Let's move on to Korea, shall we?
Yeah.
China now, and I wanted to pull this up a little bit because some people, I think, are going the other way. They're saying China's going to help us. I don't know how much China's really going to help us. They've talked about cutting their coal, buying their coal from Korea for months now. It's not something that just happened after Donald Trump met with President Xi, right? And they've stopped running Chinese airlines into Pyongyang as of Friday as well. But that was something that was in the works for a number of months. So those are not necessarily all because of Trump. Yeah. This is China having its own concerns and worries about North Korea. There was another episode that said 150,000 troops have moved to the Chinese-North Korean border. Well, they've always got like 100,000 troops on the border. They did send some other stuff. But I think it's a good thing, and maybe that was part of the discussions that Trump and President Xi had when they met at Mar-a-Lago. I mean, let's be honest. If two major powers like us look at each other, knowing how interrelated we are business-wise. If we stop buying things from China, man, there's going to have a huge economic impact over there. And if we don't buy things from China, it's going to have a huge economic impact on us as well. We're so interrelated now that a war or a boycott or anything.
Or some little chump with a bad haircut threatening to nuke your best customer.
Yeah.
I don't know. That doesn't go over
exactly
so well.
That's exactly right. I think the Chinese have reached that point where they're like, you know what? And maybe it's something as simple as Trump saying to him, listen, we don't care who you put there. We don't care what you do with North Korea. But take that guy out. You know what I mean? If that's your client sponsor state, fine. Take him out and put somebody you prefer in there. We don't care who it is because
they had a guy they were grooming, which was this guy's cousin or something like that.
The one that just died in Indonesia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of goes the same for Syria. You know, talk to the Russians, say, "Listen, if get rid of Assad, you must have a backup. Put him in instead, and that makes everything better. We can work from there." But, I mean, let's be honest. I wish somebody would just come out and say, listen, North Korea, we have no reason to invade you. You have absolutely nothing that the world wants. Nothing. Nothing that we can't buy cheaper and better and with less hassle from somewhere else. There's no reason the United States, and I wish someone in the U.S. government would say that. We have no intention ever of invading Korea, Mr. Kim Jong-un. None. You have nothing we want. We don't want to come there. We don't want to see anything. Don't worry about invading you. We never will. Will we attack you? Only if you keep provoking. You know, you keep dropping missiles in Japan seas, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
But we're certainly not going to invade because what do they want? I guess they're so dark because they have no electricity. You could probably, maybe that's what they should do. Open up a tourism, sky watching. You could probably see the stars really good in North Korea, right? I mean, it's the only, they always show that satellite view of North Korea.
Oh, yeah,
it's pitch black, right? And everything around it has got
there's
plenty
the border.
Of light.
Yep.
Yeah. So maybe you can start a tourism business watching the stars from North Korea where it's pitch black all the time.
Go back in time. See what a primitive culture really looks like.
That could be a tour. Maybe people want to see that. I don't know.
Put up plastic dinosaurs. And
they might even have dinosaurs or Siberian tigers there. Gosh only knows. But you know, here's the thing. Somebody needs to say that, hey, you have nothing. Nobody wants to invade North Korea because you have nothing but garbage there. Your technology is substandard. You don't have any natural resources we can't get somewhere else. So we're not going to invade you. And the South Koreans could care less, right? They'd like to be able to see their cousins probably, but I'm sure the South Koreans have no reason to go to North Korea or want to invade North Korea. They've got nothing.
But this really is a totalitarian trick on the part of the rulers there. And that is that basically you keep your subjugated populace subjugated and behind you by continually talking about the threat from those North American aggressors, from the South American aggressors. And by keeping that threat up, then you sort of justify it as starving them to feed the military budget.
Yeah. I'm kind of amazed that the military itself has not opened up, because you know the leaders of the military government must know the truth of what's really on the outside world, right? And you would think that, you know what, we can all make a lot more money if we get rid of Chubby Boy and kind of open up a little bit.
But they're each afraid of popping their head up. You know, the first one up.
Do you really think it's him? You think he's the top guy? I find it hard to believe that all those high-powered, highly experienced, highly seasoned generals are not calling the shots. I can't believe it's that little Korean beef burrito boy, as I call him, is the one that's got everybody scared and calling all the shots. I can't see it. Do you?
We should be grateful because his haircut makes the rest of us look good. No matter what you have on a bad hair day, just point to him.
Yeah, well, you know, it always reminds me, I say the same thing about our presidents in the White House. I don't know who the barber is in the White House, but every president we've had from Reagan forward, from Carter forward, have terrible haircuts. Who's cutting the hair of the guys in the White House? You ever think of it? Is it just me? Everyone. Terrible haircuts. George Bush, first George Bush, second George Bush. Even Slick Willie had a terrible haircut in my, you know, it just didn't matter.
I never paid attention.
Now, Trump's the first one going in with bad hair to start with.
Yeah,
that's craziness. Well, let's talk about the other big news this week was the MOAB, right? The mother of all bombs. What did you call it? Give us the details.
Massive Ordnance Airburst.
Okay, and that's the big, huge 21,000-pound. Yeah. They actually toss out the back end of a C-130 in order to get it where it needs to
Hello.
Go.
Oh, knock, knock.
Well, until yesterday, and I had to update the Daily Drift this morning, they were saying 36, they killed 36. As of this morning, it jumped up to 94 terrorists. Well,
they have to find them
so far. Yeah, they got to do a little digging to find all the bodies, right?
You know, the whole thinking behind that is that airburst is important. We think of bombs leaving huge craters. That guy comes down and he leaves a massive concussive force that actually goes down and blows through those tunnels, just collapsing stuff, just crushing anything in its way. It's not that it's collapsing the structure so much. It's just a way of pushing air at such a high velocity. It just kills anything organic in its path.
Yeah, and I thought I heard one of the generals, and it was on Fox. I'm assuming he was right. He said there was a thermobaric component to this, right?
Yeah, it sucks the air
out.
And
it literally burns all the oxygen up. So if you're deep enough in one of the tunnels that you're not hurt by the concussion, but your air gets sucked out and used up, and so you literally suffocate.
Firebombing used to be like that, too, when firebombing was done. It wasn't the fire that killed you. It was the lack of oxygen.
Yeah, terrible way to die, I guess. Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. Maybe that'll teach them a lesson. I think it sends a clear signal, definitely. Now, people will say, it's a signal to the Koreans. It's a signal to the Iranians. I'll tell you who it's a signal to. It's a signal to the ISIS guys and the terrorists. You know what? You can hide in those bunkers all day long, buddy. If we really want you, we're coming in for you.
Well, there was quite the debate in Afghanistan during the earlier years of whether to use it or not, and there appeared to be no debate this time. It's just like, it's a bomb.
Well,
use it.
And it's amazing how the media, once again, wants to say, Trump, did you give that order? Trump, did you give that order? Trying to make him look like the bad guy. And I liked his response. He said, I gave them an order to use whatever they need. And the general said, I didn't have to call them. I made the decision, which is right. For the first time in 8 years, the military is being unhandcuffed and said, do the job that you're meant to do. That is your job. We're not going to endanger the lives of our guys anymore by trying to send some guys in there to poke around and make sure, we do it the right way. The heck with that.
Well, now there's the politically correct criticism that, well, why is it the mother of all bombs? Why can't it be the father of all bombs? Because MOAB is Massive Ordnance Airburst, not FOAB, which I don't know what the heck.
It's sheer craziness. Well, anyways, one of the things that the media did, they said, oh, my gosh, these things cost $314 million each. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. There's just no way that's possible. Well, as you dig through the crap fake news, it went from $314 million each to that being a total cost for whatever 20, which made it $16 million each. And then this came out. The Pentagon does not have an exact cost, but an Air Force statement says about $170,000 per unit in 2003 when these things were built.
Well, that sounds more reasonable. Okay,
which brings it to a cost of like $227,000 today, adjusting for inflation. Now, it's amazing that we've had these things around for what?
2002 or 2003, I think.
All right, so 14, 15 years. Yeah. No shelf life, I guess, on these things?
Well, you got to rotate them just like we do the Tomahawks. Remember last week we were talking about? You got to rotate. It's the shelf life.
Stock.
Yeah, you got to get the
get
stuff.
Get them out of there, man. Yeah. Use them up. You got to use them sooner or later, right? You can't throw them in the ocean and get fish, right?
Yeah.
Craziness. But 227,000. So once again, the media, and that included Glenn Beck, because it wasn't Thursday or whatever day it dropped that I heard Glenn Beck the next day saying, well, we just spent $314 million. Like, come on, Beck. Do your homework, for crying out loud.
There's a lot of veterans who have been damaged in the wars who probably, they have said, why don't we do this sooner? Why did I have to go in and attack something when we could have done that? Why did I have to lose a leg? I mean, where's the cost there?
Yeah.
The cost to our soldiers, because we had some kind of rule of engagement, says, we can't use the mother of all bombs on these people.
Yeah.
Well, no.
You take away those stupid, overreaching rules of engagement, and nothing can stop the U.S. military, bar none.
Yeah.
Nothing. We didn't have rules of engagement in World War II, right? Or World War I. I mean, if they were there, they were pretty doggone slim because lots of civilians died by
our hand,
as well as theirs. Yes. So you do what you have to do. When it's wartime, it's wartime, folks.
Yeah.
Forget about the collateral damage. It's going to happen. You want to win a war, you can't worry about that. So let's go to, boy, the time is just flying by. Derek, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to jump in about the GOP. And they're now talking about dropping funding.
For the wall.
For the wall. So we'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
Wham! Talk 1600 can give a voice to your business, build a powerful brand, and increase awareness by sharing your message on Wham! Talk 1600. Our experienced production department will create a quality radio announcement at a price that can't be beat. You can even be featured on our website, whamradio.com. And in print media with Wham! On Main Street in the current newspaper, serving Washtenaw and Livingston counties. Unlock the possibilities and increase awareness of your business starting today. Call Wham! Talk 1600 at 734-971-1600 and get started now. The businesses that succeed in today's challenging economy are those that establish a strong presence in the marketplace. Call an advertising specialist now. Call 734-971-1600 now. Wham! Talk 1600.
Get ready to get away. It's Firekeeper's Vacation Sensation, Saturday, April 29th. 25 winners will share $125,000 in travel, prizes, and cash. The fun starts at 2 p.m. Every 2 hours, five players will pick a suitcase to win cash and prizes. Then five more pick at 10 p.m. One will win the grand prize, $25,000 cash and $10,000 in travel. Where in the world will you go? Earn entries every day, drawing Saturday, April 29th. The $125,000 vacation sensation giveaway is your passport to fun. Fire Keepers, the best promotions, the biggest guaranteed prizes. Get ready, get set, get your Vegas on. I-94 to exit 104 in Battle Creek. FireKeepersCasino.com. Management reserves all rights.
No shots, no drills, no pain. Got your attention? I'm talking about Dr. Michael Singleton, DDS, in Saline. He's been my family's dentist for almost 30 years, and that's a long time. If you're like most people, fear keeps you from going to the dentist. But now, with the Soleil laser technology, the latest in dentistry, there's no fear. That's right. With Dr. Singleton's Soleil laser, there's no fear in going to the dentist. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's truly amazing. So stop putting off a visit to the dentist and call Dr. Michael Singleton today at 734-429-7415 or stop by at 1081 North Ann Arbor Street in Saline. Online at singletonsmiles.com. No shots, no drills, no pain.
Call Dr. Michael Singleton in Saline today at 734-429-7415. That's 734-429-7415.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed.
Hey.
Hey. So let's take care of a little business. If you need, we just talked about electrical problems and losing the electrical grid, right? You can get up to $1,000 off a home standby generator from AAA Service Network. You can call them at 1-800-FIX-IT-NOW, or you can go to www.1800fixitnow.com or call 734-663-6200. They always keep an ad in the Current, and you can check that out at currentonline.com, COU. RANTonline.com, and AAA Service Network. We've got a ton of coupons in there. Plumbing repairs, furnace, drain cleaning, water heaters, appliance repair, water softeners, heating, AC, you name it, they do it. Don't wait. If you've got some issues at home, call AAA Service Network, 734-663-6200.
If you don't have a home generator that you can count on.
Like me. Yeah, well, it is what it is. Okay, we're talking border wall. Right?
Yeah.
And the GOP, and this is what drives me crazy. Here you finally have a Republican president, a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and Mitch McConnell, of course, is going to have to take the Senate. If you want to get anything done, he's going to have to go the nuclear option, including on legislation. Or go to those McClintock rules, right, that we've talked about a number of times.
Yeah, yeah.
Go back before Harry Reid's rule in whatever year that was. And they need to be able to do something to get it done. But here you see reports this week that the GOP leaders dropping border wall funds, according to a report. House Democrats, along with a few House Republicans, are working around the clock to make sure for funding for the estimated $12 billion wall is not factored into the GOP budget. And that's according to a report by The Hill. With Democrats united against the new wall funding, it's unlikely Republicans have the votes to get it through and prevent a government shutdown. So here again, the will of the people was build a wall, and the Democrats are holding the budget hostage in order to prevent the wall from being built. And one of the – you know, here's the guy I probably hate most in the Senate, John McCain. Derek, you got track two ready? This is John McCain in a previous campaign commercial talking about the wall, and he's talking with Paul Sheriff Paul I can't remember his name, but anyway, he's on the news all the time now. Go ahead and play that.
Drug and human smuggling, home invasions, murder.
We're outmanned. Of all the illegals in America, more than half come through Arizona.
Have we got the right plan?
Plan's perfect. You bring troops, state, county, and local law enforcement together.
And complete the dang fence.
It'll work this time. Senator, you're one of us.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Trader John McCain, because now you're one of the Republicans working with the Democrats to stop the wall from being built. It doesn't get any more clear than that. John McCain is a traitor to the United States of America. He's a globalist. He wants an open border. He's working hand in hand with the Democrats to ensure that the wall does not get built. He's a disgrace. This guy, and how Arizonans fell for him one more time to vote for him is beyond me. He's a disgrace to the United States of America, and here he is trying to stop. Now, you've seen him, right? He's traveling. He spends more time overseas lately than he does at home, which...
In Syria.
And it makes you wonder, what are you doing overseas as a U.S. senator all this time? Why are you taking it upon yourself to go out and talk up American business when you're just a senator? You're not the president, and you're certainly not advancing American issues. You're advancing globalist issues. I'm dumbfounded that any Republican would go for this. If we don't have enough votes in the Senate, then doggone it, Mitch McConnell, grow a pair and take us nuclear if that's what it takes to get it done. Because, you know, here's once again, I don't know how many times I've said this. If the Republicans take this Trump agenda, be that as it may, flipped around, whatever, it's not a solid thing. But take the Trump agenda, move it forward, and the American people will be happy because they're going to be safer. We're going to have more jobs. The economy will be better. You won't have to worry about the Democrats coming back in 2018 or 2020 if you move this forward agenda now.
I was just thinking about Sotomayor and Kagan and how lonely they could be in say, 10 or 15 years after a succession of Republican presidents. And they being the last on SCOTUS of the liberal persuasion, how lonely they. And it's a wonderful thought.
Yeah.
It's just a wonderful thought.
Well, I saw a report today, and I don't think I put it up on the Daily Drift. I'll probably get it up tomorrow, that some of the Democrats are now saying to Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, all right, well, maybe we'll work with you if you ensure that the next Supreme Court justice is someone we like Merrick Garland or whatever. You know what? You're not in a position anymore to be telling us how this is going to go. And Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan need to butch up and grow a pair. Doggone it. Get some guts, for crying out loud. We do what you're supposed to do. We sent you there to get a job accomplished. We gave you the Congress. We gave you the Senate. And now we've given you a president. And you're still not doing what we've told you to do. Yeah. How much longer do we have to put up with this?
Well, even on the legislation, I mean, you know this, is that the Constitution doesn't say anything about, 60 votes. The Constitution specifies 51 votes, a majority, or 50 and the Senate president, you know, who's the Vice President Pence. So we've got that, you know, ace in the hole right there. So, you know, this was just some rule that came up, the whole, filibustering. Sorry about that. Wow. The whole filibuster thing. Well, that was pretty much a Democratic progressive invention anyhow. So why should we have to adhere to that?
Yeah, you shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
Because that's not the way it was. It's not the way the founders saw it.
Exactly.
And so here it is, once again, gutless Republicans holding us up on the works. You know, there's no reason to not have the budget done. We shouldn't be talking about this. Mm-hmm. Throw the Democrats under the bus. Enough is enough. They're obstructionists. And now you actually have the American people. You'll be able to pull it off right now.
Yeah.
Of all the time, now is when you can do it. Okay, folks, well, that's it.
Are you kidding me?
Time just flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? All right, listen, here's another option for you if you've got Easter brunch tomorrow. Burroughs Roadhouse out in Brighton, 810-227-6000. Go check them out, and they're also doing comedy tonight. It's Mike Merrifield. So check it out, Burroughs Roadhouse out in West Brighton. Till next week, go to thedailydrift.com. We'll see you.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.